The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Yes, it is. Coming to you from the Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. And it's a very busy news afternoon. Day three, the Kyle Rittenhouse jury is deliberating. If they come back with a verdict, of course, we will bring that to you live. There have already been some very interesting developments in the Rittenhouse case this morning, as it was revealed that an NBC reporter or producer followed the jury bus. Now, what possible reason would they have other than they want to identify the jurors, dox them, intimidate them? Sounds like a major news operation wanting to influence a trial. A trial in which a 17-year-old, he's 18 now, Rittenhouse, is almost beyond any sane person's mind of doubt, is innocent. Kyle Rittenhouse, it was self-defense, but there are agitators who want violence. There's just no question about that, that there are some people in the media who want violence. They want to spark racial tension. They've made this a race case, even though it was a white man who shot three white men, one of whom was a repeat sodomizer of little boys. Another one was a domestic violence guy. Third one pointed a gun at Rittenhouse, even though he was not legally allowed to carry a gun. And there are just too many people in the media. And I said, this is pure evil that we're looking at right now in some elements of the media. But if NBC News attempted to dox the jury in an attempt to send an innocent young man to prison for the rest of their life, of his life, that is pure evil on the part of NBC News. And a reminder, NBC News is the same organization that edited the George Zimmerman 911 call in the shooting of Trayvon Martin to make it sound like something it absolutely was not. And NBC News edited that call to try to affect an outcome in a case. And when all of this is happening, and it is playing such a huge role in undermining our nation, I don't know what to say anymore. Of course, I'm a defender of a free press. I make my living off of the First Amendment. But what NBC News is doing, sending people after jury buses on the orders of executives in New York, we're talking about some pure evil now at the very top. So now MSNBC has been banned from the courthouse for the duration of this trial. I hope it extends to all of NBC News. But there's an organization where Brian Williams just announced he's leaving. Brian Williams lost his anchor job because he lied about being in a helicopter under fire in a combat zone. They edit important 911 calls to make a guy sound like he said something that he did not say. And now doxing of jurors. Pure evil is what we're talking about right now. So we'll keep an eye on jury deliberations if they come in with a verdict. 3 days now that they have not come back with a verdict. And, of course, as we've talked about, the outcomes are they'll either find him not guilty, or if they have a hung jury, I can't believe it would be unanimous guilty verdict. But then the judge has the option to declare a mistrial because of so much prosecutorial misconduct. So that's where we are. We're keeping a very close eye on it. We will bring any new developments to you live throughout the afternoon here on the Dory Monson Show. And I'm just getting some breaking news. Deadlocked jurors have now asked for a fortified image of Kyle Rittenhouse that the prosecutors spent 20 hours preparing. So the jury is being described as deadlocked. It looks like it's on the first shooting of Rosenbaum. And they are talking about the video in question, how the prosecutor used a low-resolution video when there was high-res available that exonerates Kyle Rittenhouse in that shooting as well. And so the jury is looking at that right now, and that's what they are deadlocked on, reportedly, as this trial continues. I'm just getting that breaking news as we speak here at the beginning of the big show. All right, let's get local, and let's get going with the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
At a Seattle school board meeting yesterday, the school board has now asked for the state to mandate that all Seattle school students, 5 and older, be vaccinated. Now, there are so many problems with this, starting with the fact that kids don't need to be vaccinated. And I'll give you the numbers on that in just a moment here. But a member of the Seattle School Board at this meeting yesterday, he said that anybody who talks about child death rate from COVID is pushing out misinformation or disinformation. Here's what he said.
What I will say for my board comments, though, is that, and it's convenient that everybody has left the room, but when we have conversations about disinformation and then comments that say that there is a 99.9% survival rate from this disease, as a person, as a Black man who has lost countless family members to this virus, I will not sit at this diet and let one child in this district pass away from a preventable disease.
Well, that's very dramatic, but you greatly understated overstated the risk to children. Let me give you the actual numbers, and this is not disinformation. According to our CDC, about 1 out of 1 million kids have died from COVID in our nation. 1 out of 1 million, and every one of the kids who have died had some comorbidity. And by comorbidity, we're talking about things like cancer, diabetes, all of them in our state over the age of 10. Nobody 9 and younger has died in our state, so I have no idea why we'd have mandatory vaccination of 5 to 9-year-olds. But and then there's another brand-new study out of England, massive study, and it says that statistically children have a zero risk of death from COVID-19. And when I say statistically, we're talking about a percentage very similar to the United States. 1 out of 500,000 children. So that is 99.9998% recovery rate for people under 25. If you're under 18, it's much better than that. And so, every one of those, they had 25 million kids in the UK, and only 25 have passed away. So 1 out of every 500,000, every one of them had comorbidities. There's simply no reason to vaccinate children. There's none. But now the Seattle School Board officially yesterday asked the state of Washington for an emergency order to mandate that all kids must be vaccinated. There are a lot of parents who have seen the problems, and I'll tell you about one of the problems. I've mentioned this a little casually the last couple of days on the show, but the entire nation of Taiwan, they have suspended their second round of Pfizer COVID vaccines for children due to heart problems. And they studied results from the VAERS database here in the United States. And what they found out was that children 12 to 17 years old who have gotten the vaccine, that it does increase the risk of myocarditis and pericarditis. Myocarditis is inflammation of the heart and muscle. Pericarditis is inflammation of the outer lining of the heart. And according to U.S. statistics, the risk of kids experiencing myocarditis is 10 times higher on the second dose of the vaccine than after the first dose. So those are real numbers. And it is disgusting to hear members of the Seattle School Board call actual facts disinformation. Because, of course, what they are engaged in is a disinformation campaign to try to get kids vaccinated when there is no public health reason for children to be vaccinated. So you have the Seattle School Board engaged in a massive disinformation campaign right now. And that brings me to what else is going on in our schools right now. We found out in a state Senate briefing yesterday that, this is shocking, 55,000 students have left the public schools in our state. In our state alone. And they thought, well, this is just a temporary blip because of COVID. But they now realize, nope, this is looking permanent.
What we're seeing in the K through 12 cohort, in June, we assumed that the K through 3 caseload would bounce back. And as you can see, it did not. So we assumed that this would be a temporary situation with COVID. And what we're seeing is it's really more of a systemic change that we're seeing in most cohorts.
Okay, it is a systemic change. So why have 55,000 kids left the public schools? Well, first and foremost, of course, I want to turn to you for the answer to that. In the last couple of years, has your school-age child left the public schools here in Washington? And if so, why? I have certainly lots of ideas about this. One is that the schools have gone politically insane with critical race theory, teaching children to hate each other based on their skin color, with a graphic pornography being introduced into elementary schools. We are just seeing that the radical left that has taken over too many school boards, that they are so out of touch with most parents who have kids. They want their kids to grow up in kind of a sane society, and they recognize that schools are right now insane. And so when you combine the pornography, the teaching of hatred, and the no doubt coming mandatory vaccination, my guess is those are the reasons why they're off 55,000 kids in our public schools. But there's another huge issue attached to all of this, and that is, it is time for our state legislature, and hat tip to our friend Lee Finna at the Washington Policy Center, who calls for this all the time. There is a systemic change happening when you lose 55,000 kids. And the legislature has to recognize that the public schools are not working for an awful lot of families. And it is time to start returning the $17,000 that we spend per child per school year. And that needs to be returned to the parents. If the kids are in public school, then that's fine. The $17,000 will stay with the school district. But if the kids are coming out, then it's time to send the parents a $17,000 voucher if they want to send the kids to private school, or a $17,000 tax refund if they want to homeschool the kids. And they can use that for all of the essentials that they need to be homeschooling parents, or if they have groups of parents who take that on, which is happening more and more as well. But clearly, our public schools are failing when you lose 55,000 of your customers. And our legislature has to recognize that. It is time for parents who pull their kids out of the public schools to get back the $17,000 that we are spending per student. They can use it, apply it for public school tuition, or they can use it for their homeschooling expenses. But we are seeing a dramatic shift in the schools right now. So again, if you are a family where your school-age kids have left the schools in the last couple of years, tell me why. I want to know why. But when you have the Seattle School Board pushing out such disinformation, trying to scare people. That's the other thing. You know, racism, hatred, scaring people, trying to turn our kids into emotional basket cases, think they're going to drown, or be mowed down by a school shooter. It's so manipulative. So let me know if you are among those families. 888-973 Cairo. That's the number to text me. 888-973-5476. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Jay Inslee came right back from his climate change week in Glasgow, Scotland, where he flew on jets and rode in huge entourages of SUVs and burned a lot of carbon emissions. He came right back to the flooding here in Western Washington. And, of course, Jay Inslee just incessantly last night, instead of just focusing on, you know, the horrors that these people are dealing with and what they can do to help, he just couldn't stop talking about climate change, even though it has nothing to do with the rains of the last week.
Comment going forward, we are in a permanent state of attack in our state by the forces of climate change. We saw it from the heat dome that hurt our farmers in eastern Washington. We saw temperatures and drought that caused massive forest fires in the Mettow Valley. And we have to realize that we're going to face decades of increased floods in our state of Washington. This is one flood of, unfortunately, many that we will be experiencing.
Decades of increased floods. Can you remember one year when we did not have flooding in Western Washington? I've been on this show for 26 years. This is a yearly occurrence. And I know this was bad. I'm not minimizing what a lot of people are dealing with this year's floods. But for him to say we're going to have increased flooding, we've had flooding every single year in Western Washington. But he just kept going on his climate change thing.
Well, the point I was making is you can run from climate change, but you can't hide. It'll get you. Our wheat crop was down maybe 20%. Our wine grapes had smoke damage from the fires.
And he says it's all because of your gas mower.
And now here we are in Whatcom County and in the Macaw Reservation on the Olympic Peninsula with unprecedented floods. This is a phenomenon that we have to grapple with. And we have to band together to help each other to become a more resilient community and fight the source of climate change, which is pollution.
And the reason he says this is he wants to tax us billions and billions of dollars when Washington is statistically not a factor in global climate emissions. I'd like to see China and India and Russia clean things up. But as long as they're pumping most of the climate emissions into the atmosphere, Washington State, you can spend $10, $50, $100 billion, but we are a non-factor in global climate emissions. This is not about saving the planet. This is about getting tax dollars from people who are ignorant, from people who don't know how to study and analyze numbers. And that is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Coming up, I talked yesterday about Congresswoman Kim Schreier. Her husband bought between $500,000 and $1 million worth of Apple stock. They claim he didn't tell her, and she failed to meet reporting deadlines, even though she sits on a House committee that oversees technology and telecommunications. You think that might affect Apple Inc.? I'll talk to one of the national people covering this story next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we told you yesterday, Congresswoman Kim Schreier from our area has a stock purchase where she missed the deadline to report it. And shockingly, besides our radio show, not one local media outlet has picked up on this story, as they apparently want to provide some cover, because she's going to be in a very contested race next year. But national media is covering this, like Dave Leventhal with Business Insider, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Dave, it's really good to talk with you. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Kim Schreier and her husband, in a joint account, purchased $500,000 of Apple stock in July, and I'll let you pick it up from there on what the reporting deadlines are and how far they missed them.
Indeed, and it's at least $500,000, could in fact be up to $1 million. Just to step back, members of Congress, when they make a personal stock trade, which is something that they have the right to do under current law, they have to report that information in a relatively short period of time. So if you buy Apple stock, you're pretty much on the clock for between 30 and 45 days once you make a trade to publicly disclose the fact that that trade was made, a purchase, a sale, an exchange, et cetera.
Sure.
And you have to disclose it in a range, too. So that's what happened here, but it was disclosed well after a deadline that the Congress itself has established for itself, and that's when it really came on our radar.
Yeah, she was more than 2 months behind in reporting this. And the initial comment from Kim Schreier was that her husband bought this and didn't tell her about it. And I'm just curious, do you ever,
right.
I don't know if you're married. I am. If I bought something that was between $500,000 and $1 million, I'm pretty sure I would inform my wife about that, Dave.
Well, we reached out to her office, and that's exactly what they told us, that she wasn't initially aware of the transaction, that she was well after the fact, and as soon as she became aware of it, she filed the required disclosure that ultimately was late. So they also said she's never missed a transaction reporting deadline up to this point, but
right.
It really does underscore a known but underappreciated fact that members of Congress are really, really wealthy by and large. They have complex finances, and oftentimes you see members in this situation and all across the country buying and selling stocks of companies that, number one, spend a whole heck of a lot of money lobbying Congress itself. And also, number two, do a lot of business with the government, too. Kind of a classic example is we have found plenty of examples of members who sit on, say, the House Armed Services or Senate Armed Services Committee who are personally trading, buying and selling the stocks of companies such as Boeing or Lockheed Martin or
sure.
Raytheon, defense contractors who've got a whole lot of business entangled with the government.
Well, that's why I think this is so shady, because Kim Schreier sits on the House Telecommunications and Technology Committee. And of course, Apple stock is affected by any congressional rules or laws that come out of that committee. And here's what I find so ludicrous about her saying that her husband just didn't tell her. I would assume that the spouses of members of Congress, who are the primary investors in the family, they know what federal law is. And there's no way that I believe that her husband wasn't aware of federal law, that they had to report this within 45 days.
Well, the best we can do at this point, because of the way that the law is written, is to take the member at his or her word. You can believe them, you cannot believe them, but the law is the law. And the law says that if you personally, as a member of Congress, or if your spouse, or for that matter, even a dependent child, make a stock trade of a certain sort, then you have to disclose it in that 30 to 45 day period. No ifs, ands, or buts. So you can blame your spouse, you could blame your financial advisor, but the bottom line is you are still personally, as a member of Congress, on the hook for disclosing, as the law provides the disclosure regime, so to speak. And
yeah.
If you fail to do that, then you get articles written about you, and also you could potentially be paying a fine, too, although the fine is often de minimis. It starts at about $200, which is not a whole lot of money if you got enough to buy $1 million or so worth of Apple stock, for example.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I might try that next summer. I might buy a 55-foot Sea Ray And then 3 months later, tell my wife about it. Oh, I forgot to tell you that I bought a $700,000 yacht, honey. So do we need tougher laws then, Dave? Because I talked a few weeks ago about how one of the surest ways for the average investor to almost 100% make money is just follow what Nancy Pelosi and her husband do. They do some high-risk, highly leveraged trades, and they seem to work out with near 100% success. And it just seems so shady to me that all of these people who make about $180,000 a year, many of them end up worth $30 million, $50 million, $100 million, because they're able to manipulate and leverage their congressional position.
Well, to your first question, which is should the law change, a couple of facts here. Insider, my company, is along with a couple of other media organizations, together we have found now 47 examples of members of Congress in the Senate, in the House, who have violated this law that we're talking about. It's known as the Stock Act, the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act. It was passed about 10 years ago. And initially, it was going to ban members of Congress from investing in individual stocks. So therefore, you couldn't buy Apple. You couldn't go ahead and buy Boeing or ExxonMobil or AT&T or Tesla. You would have to abstain from that and stick to, say, mutual funds or bond funds, something that was going to be much more conservative and much more diversified. But that did not come to pass. The law passed, but not that aspect of it. And so we have this disclosure system that we have right now. And the idea behind that was like, okay, well, you as a member can go ahead and trade, but you're going to have to disclose your trades and disclose quickly. Now, that's all fine and good. But the problem is if you have 47 members of Congress, which is about roughly not quite one tenth of Congress who are not abiding by the law, they're not complying with the law, then the law is not working, at least the way that it was designed. So there is a bill that does exist right now in Congress, although it's not going anywhere fast, that would do exactly what the Stock Act tried to do 10 years ago, which is ban members of Congress from holding individual stock trades. I would not hold your breath in terms of that bill going forward quickly, because if there is one thing that is truly a bipartisan phenomenon in a very divided Congress, it's that Republicans and Democrats, we found examples all over the place on both sides of members who just for one reason or another have not been able to get this law right, have not been able to comply with this law. They've got lots of excuses, but still, at the end of the day, they just have not been able to comply with this law. And that, in many people's opinion, would be a problem, is a problem.
Well, and I'm one of those people with that opinion. So, all right, great reporting on this, Dave. I really appreciate you taking the time and coming on with me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So there you have it, you know, right from the, you know, one of the guys who's been exposing this, Dave Leventhal with Insider, that members of Congress just do not follow the laws. And, you know, if you did an index fund, you can get rich slowly like the rest of America tries to do. But they get super wealthy somehow. Wonder how that works out. All right, what do you think? Text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. This Kim Schreier stock trade that I find a little staggering. She's represents much of King County, you know, the east side, Issaquah, I think a piece of Pierce County. Do you realize the Dory Monson Show is the only local media outlet that I'm aware of that is covering this? The Seattle Times hasn't had one word to say about a Congress member in our region failing to report up to $1 million worth of Apple stock purchase while she sits on a House committee for technology and telecommunications that affects greatly Apple Inc. But why bury the story? And I haven't seen any TV station pick it up either. Why bury the story? We're writing it up. We're putting it up on My Northwest for you. By the way, as I've told you, the Dory Monson Show has a greatly, greatly, greatly stepped up presence on MyNorthwest.com. If you miss anything, we get many of our top stories up there for you. But why ignore it? Well, I mentioned this yesterday. In 2020, Kim Schreier was the incumbent, and she got lots of money from around the country from the Democratic Party. And she outspent her opponent, a former U.S. Army Ranger who was an Amazon technology guy. She outspent him by about a 7-1 factor, and she still only won by 2 points. And the Democrats note they are extraordinarily vulnerable in Washington's 8th district now. And so the Seattle Times, you know they're liberal there. You know they're, I mean, they want Kim Schreier, as one listener pointed out. They want Kim Schreier to be among the members of Congress who come up with a bailout for newspapers. But to ignore a story like this, it's a huge story. Does anybody believe that her husband forgot to tell her? Because he knows the rules for reporting stock purchases. And it's somewhere, we only know the parameters. It was between $500,000 and $1 million worth of Apple stock. And how do you get that rich as a member of Congress? How do so many people on $180,000 a year salaries become worth $50 million, $100 million? How does it happen? Poof, it's like magic. Why do you think people are willing to sell their souls to become politicians? If you're a member of Congress, you have a road to riches. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way the system is supposed to work. And, you know, Kim Schreier's spokesperson sent the Dory Monson Show a statement and said, oh, I've been really busy. I'm just getting to this now. She sent it at 3:13 p.m. yesterday, just as we got off the air. And we said, hey, we're on deadline. We're going to cover this story today. And they just said, yeah, it was an oversight. They just forgot to report it. And he never told her. Her husband didn't tell her that he bought between $500,000 and $1 million worth of Apple stock. When he knows the congressional reporting rules, and he knows that she sits on a committee that oversees telecommunications and technology. It's unbelievable. I've told you, I think politics corrupts souls. Both sides. Both ends of the political spectrum. I think it corrupts souls. And kind of along those lines, there's a Republican congressman named Paul Gosar, and he was censured yesterday and removed from all his committees because he retweeted some tweet that was, it was a violent video that depicted AOC and Biden. And so because he retweeted this, they did a formal censure of him. And as I said, removed him from his committees. Well, there were some Republicans who stood up to speak. Lauren Boebert. I like Lauren Boebert. She's got some fire to her. And she said, okay, yeah, you censured our person. But do you ever censure your own people who do lousy things?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Democrat policies are so pathetic and have done so poorly that the left has nothing else to do but troll the internet looking for ways to get offended and then try to target members and strip them of their committees. This is a dumb waste of the House's time. But since the Speaker has designated the floor to discuss members' inappropriate actions, shall we? The Jihad Squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband, and not her brother husband, the other one, over $1 million in campaign funds. This member is allowed on the Foreign Affairs Committee while praising terrorists. A Democrat chairwoman incited further violence in the streets outside of a courthouse. And then the cherry on top. My colleague and 3-month presidential candidate from California, who is on the Intelligence Committee, slept with Feng Feng, a Chinese spy. Let me say that again. A member of Congress who receives classified briefings was sleeping with the enemy. This is unacceptable.
She's talking about Eric Swalwell, who slept with Feng Feng, the Chinese spy. But yeah, they only go after the one side of the spectrum. That was good stuff. Okay, news, and then Fast 15 coming up next.